Good morning, everybody. Bright sunshine. It's warmer out there, isn't it? Wow. You know, Lord willing, we're going to get hot this week. But it's nice in here today. We're going to enjoy it. Pastor might get a little heated, but so be it. Let's see. How about we turn to 800, please. Turn to 800 and let's stand, please. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come to your house today to worship you. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day. Thank you for the summer weather, Lord. Thank you for my church, Lord. Thank you for my church family, Lord. Thank you for the bit of love I've already seen, Lord, here today. Just people shaking hands, a little hug, maybe even a tear, Lord. All, Lord, that going on today, Lord. Thank you for it, being able to see it, and upholding my church, Lord, that we're trying to be a church for you. Thank you for my pastor, Lord, for his wife, Lord, the work they do here. Today, Lord, pastor's going to speak. Oh, Lord, just guide him, direct him. Give him the power he needs to deliver your message to us today, Lord. I pray it falls on ears that really, really need to hear it, Lord. And, Lord, there might be a heart that needs to be changed today, Lord. I pray that person get right with you, Lord, before they leave this building. Thank you, Lord, so much for our nation. I just pray for our nation, Lord, the sad shape it's in. But, Lord, I know it's all part of your plan. Help us, Lord, to be patient as we wait. Help us, Lord, to be vigilant, be out there seeking the lost, Lord, and being doing what we need to be, Lord, for you. Thank you for this time, Lord. Just guide and direct. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see. How about 616, please? 616. Songs today, 415. Thank you. Let's see. I used to have another piece. Here it is. The bulletin supplement by our pastor. Sermon titles today, the morning service, Ready and Not Ashamed. That's in Romans 1. And tonight, I want you to come back for that. Stand and Deliver, that's in Acts 4. Pastor's thought for the week, I'm ahead of myself, but I'm not. Don't be in such a hurry to complete the journey that you miss the trip. Let's see. Don't forget then again, tonight at 6 o'clock is our evening service. Personal evangelism is on the 22nd at 6. Wilton Bible Study on the 24th. Coming events, we got a church picnic coming up, folks. September 16th at 1 o'clock down here in Fruitland Park, I believe. See, we got a film night on the 17th. Our evangelism day is September 24th. Be an organ donor. Give your heart to Jesus. Guys, you'll come forward. We'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this beautiful day. Thank you just for the opportunity to be here, Lord. Oh, Lord, so many things you do for us, and many of us don't give you any credit, Lord. But, Lord, the very air we breathe, we need to be thanking you for every day of our lives. Lord, just guide and direct our service to come here. Be with our pastor, give him the strength he needs, Lord. And, boy, Lord, now be with the gift and the giver as we take up this offering. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ladies. Gene's coming up now.
Morning.
Morning. Morning.
I'm glad I heard. Well, I got this thing in my throat since I had pneumonia and everything. It shakes a lot, so don't pay attention to the shake. But anyway, the piece I'm going to play today is Bless This House. And certainly the whole congregation that we have here is a blessing to the Lord. But the second one that I wrote down was Bless Your Homes. Yes. There's many homes represented here, and I praise the Lord for that. So I'm going to try to play Bless This House. And what if I get too nervous and need help walking back to the pew? You may have to help me. I always got to stand by. Thank you.
Lord bless you, Gene.
Well, the message has been given.
Good morning, everyone. What a wonderful day it is to be alive, to be under the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives if you're born again, to have that possibility again offered to you today if you're not, to become a child of God, to have your sins forgiven, and to know that your eternal destiny is to be in heaven in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I welcome you on the basis of His name today to our time here of morning worship. We're glad for everyone. I see a few people returned from vacation. Interestingly enough, it's pretty warm outside again today and is predicted to be for the next couple of days at least. And so maybe God's going to turn the heat up on us a little bit. And maybe not just in the climate, but maybe He'll turn the heat up on us personally. But always remember this, when the Lord turns up the heat, He also offers a cool cup of water. Yeah. He's a living water. So be quenched, have your thirst quenched in Jesus Christ. But welcome today. If you're visiting, we're glad you're here. If you're not a visitor, we're glad you're here. We're just plain glad you're here today. And I believe because we preach the Word of God here today that there will be benefit in being involved here today as we not only encourage one another, but also are encouraged from the Word, and that we would bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And I believe probably every one of us walked in this room today with some kind of a burden. And understand this today, we need to share those burdens and bear those burdens. And there is hope in Jesus Christ. And that's what He has instituted His church for. We're a community and we are interconnected. And so pray for one another and help one another as this week progresses. I do have one special request. And that is in 3 weeks, or I believe it's 2 weeks from next Saturday, there will be Fruitland Days down at the park. And we always have a booth at that event. I would like some of you to say, hey, Pastor John, I'm going to come and sit with you there. And we're not selling anything. We're giving things away. We're giving away the gospel and help for people. So if you're inclined to meet down there right after the parade or a little earlier, if you want to help me set up the booth, we will have that opportunity to reach out to folks down here. And let me just say, folks, it oftentimes produces some fruit. So if God is speaking to you and you say, well, you know, I don't know if I'd want to do that alone, but I'd go down and sit with Pastor John because he'll take all the embarrassment. But seriously, that's an opportunity. Well, the title of our message today is Ready and Not Ashamed. And these are two key elements in delivering the gospel. We're going to be in Paul's letter to the churches at Rome in chapter 1 today, if you're on your device or in your paper Bibles. But before we go any further, once again, today is a time that we're gathered, first of all, to worship and glorify God. And so we'll take just a few moments here as I begin a pastoral prayer, and we'll look to the Lord, and this is a good time to adjust our hearts, to do special business with God, and to let Him know that you love Him, and let Him know that He is worthy, and that you again have all confidence in what He has done for you. And it's a time again to get close to Him as we prepare to go into the world. So we're going to take that time now. Again, welcome to one and all. And may this be a day that is profitable in our walk with God. Let us pray. Lord God, today we stand in awe of You as we rise to greet a new day of Your grace and mercy. Lord, as we experience the heat, the beauty of Your creation, the sun that brightens this world and gives it life, we think of You, Lord Jesus, and Your Father. You are the one who has created life and who sustains it and who allows it to prosper and to grow. And so we thank You, Lord, and we pray that You would cause us to flourish today, Lord, in those divine preparations that You have given for humanity. We want to give You all praise and glory today because You are worthy more than what we can ever say. But Lord, help our hearts to have a deep devotion to You this day and every day. And Lord, when we really boil everything down, we know that it is all from You. It is all by Your grace and mercy directed toward mankind. So we thank You today as well for the greatest gift that You have ever given, and that being the gift of salvation. Father God, through the giving of Your Son, the gift, Jesus, Your anointed one who came to bear the sins of the world and to bleed and shed His precious sinless blood to cover the sin of the ones that were dirty, the sinners. And Lord, You not only did that for us, but then You also died as a penalty for sin requires. The wages of sin is death. But then You rose again the third day to guarantee us eternal life and to give us the prototype of what will happen to all believers when we are resurrected. So we thank You, Lord, to new bodies and to a new path and a new placement, Lord, where sin will no longer have its effects. Thank You, Jesus, though, that throughout all eternity we'll be able to see Your hands where You were nailed to the cross of Calvary for our sakes. We thank You, Lord, that that will never pass away, that even though sin will no longer be in our presence, we will always recognize what You have delivered us from, which is the penalty of eternal death in the lake of fire. Now, Lord, today we are still yet living and we are still operating in Your ordained age of the church. That's the age of grace, the age of whosoever will. So, Lord, as we look into Your word today, open our hearts and our minds, Lord, and encourage us today. And, Lord, if the heat needs to be turned up on me or anyone else here, I pray You'll do that today, Lord. Help us to understand that we're not here just to occupy time and space, but You have a directive for humanity. And I pray, Lord, we would realize and get with that sooner than later. Now, Lord, as always, we know that there are wayward people in our own flock here. We know we have a community around us, Lord, that is needy. We have Your sufficiency to share with them. But, Lord, there are people with difficulties. And, Lord, even if they don't think they have difficulties, we all do. And we all came here today again, Lord, with a burden. So I pray that You would lift those burdens. Father, again, there are those that are grieving. There are those that are genuinely ill. Some, Lord, are walking away from You today, avoiding You. But, Lord, You know where they're at. And I pray, Lord, that You'll bring those folks back into an active fellowship very soon. Now, Lord, I'm the one that's responsible. And, yes, it is a privilege today, Lord, to deliver Your word. I'm not capable. And, Lord, I'm in the flesh. So I pray that You'll help me in the Spirit today to accomplish the delivery of this word. And we'll give You thanks in advance, Lord, because You are strong, but I am weak. Lord, may the connection be made today through the Spirit, and none of us be the same as we leave this building today. I pray for one that would not know You, Lord, today as their personal Savior, that this might be the day they would step out and trust You, that You would call them. And so we leave it in Your hands, Lord, today, and we ask that You'd be pleased and blessed in what takes place here today, and Your presence with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, again, our text today is Romans chapter 1, and we will be working primarily in verses 1 through 17. Now, I've kind of designed this message not to be a lengthy one because I held you on overtime last week, right? So to keep this fair, we might try to be done a little early today. We might. Some of you already know how I operate with these kind of things. But friends in Christ, this morning we look into the spiritual inner makeup of the Apostle Paul. Oh, if we could only see with clarity what we're all made up of. I'm glad that you cannot see the whole spiritual makeup of myself, and I think you ought to be glad that none of us can see the whole spiritual makeup of one another. Because, folks, it probably wouldn't be pretty. And I don't think Paul was a lot different than we are, but when Paul got under the leadership of the Holy Spirit there on the road to Damascus, his life became more transparent because Paul had a focus in his life, and that focus was Jesus Christ and the spreading of his gospel. Paul is and was the ultimate church planter. He's been there and he's done that. He's worked with people. And we've gained some further insight into Paul. Oh, the Lord, that you would allow me to have that zeal that Paul had. Tonight's message is called Stand and Deliver. It's about the Apostle Peter and his preaching. And you know what, folks? That's the goal that I want in my life. It's the goal for you as well, even though vocationally you may not be a preacher. And by the way, I'm a pastor. A preacher is one who's just a mouth. Pastor has to have more than that. That's part of it. But folks, every one of us today has been called to what? To spread the gospel. The gospel is the good news. None of us are off the hook. But today we will get an insight into Paul as he teaches us some basic truths about the Christian faith, but also reveals himself and to how what kind of a condition he was in personally. I like to know that. I like to know the nitty-gritty about people. Because it also causes me to examine where I'm at. Now, I had a whole write-up here this morning. Shall I read it or not? You really want it? Oh, it's very short. Anyway, the inner makeup of Paul as a church planter and a passionate deliverer of the gospel, the good news of salvation in Christ, the gift of God to sinful, needy, lost souls of mankind. As we peruse this passage, the idea would be how we grasp and process the doctrines that Paul gives us that are laid out and how we absorb it, but also the challenge of two key elements necessary to see the gospel have God's desired effect on the hearers. And you'll find these in verses 16 and 17, but the two key elements are readiness and not being ashamed. Readiness and not being ashamed. We'll explore those when we get to those, but first we'll go through this passage. Now, there's a lot of interesting things that we find here in this passage. It is very rich. And just so we're straight on all of this, sometimes when we think about the church or churches at Rome, by the way, in my investigation, there were probably four churches in Rome that Paul wrote this letter to. He wrote this when he was at the church in Corinth. And some of you may remember on my preaching and teaching on ladies here a few weeks back, a lady named Phoebe delivered this letter to the believers in Rome. My research, maybe I repeat myself here, my research has shown that there were probably four churches in Rome. Now, when we think of that, we think, well, maybe it was like Fruitland. They had a building where they met, and it was a big, powerful, dynamic group of people. They sang great hymns. Folks, wipe that all out of your mind. It might have been a great, dynamic, powerful bunch of people. But what the churches were really like in Rome were small groups of people that met that were saved and loved the Lord. It was more of a house church type of a thing, folks. It was a basic thing. By the way, the Roman Empire was nominally pagan. Okay? The Christians were not welcomed in the Roman Empire. True believers for sure. And so these were small things, but you know what? That's how God starts. But God produces big things out of small things. That's our God that we serve. But that's a little bit about the atmosphere to the believers in Rome. And Paul is communicating to them a letter. By the way, the basis of the believers in Rome was nominally probably Jews that were saved in Jerusalem and were transported into Rome. I'm having one of those senior moments right now. The tent maker couple, help me. Priscilla and Aquila. There's one of the evidences of those type of people. Paul, at the writing of this letter, had never made it to Rome. He intended to get there, and he'll talk about that this morning, but he was providentially hindered. We'll talk about that in a little bit. By the way, be careful what you consider providential hindrances. Providential hindrances are not something that you have created. They are something that God may have placed in your path for reasons that we don't know, that Paul didn't make it there as he should have. But we do know in the book of Acts, Paul eventually made it to Rome. Some people think he made it to Spain. I don't think he did. That was his desire. But Paul lost his life for the sake of Jesus Christ in Rome. And the other thing I want to say, there is no evidence whatsoever that the Apostle Peter planted the first church in Rome. That's Roman Catholic theology. No, Peter did get to Rome, but he was not the first planter of a church in Rome. There's no evidence at all to support that whatsoever. So just to let you know about that, it's history, but it is not provable history, okay? So it's important to think about those kind of things. Anyway, here's how Paul starts this letter out. Do any of you write letters anymore? I really like letters. In fact, some of you have come to me about different things, and I say, well, you know, write a letter. It's still a verifiable piece of evidence where you can pour out your heart about a subject or a certain thing. It's certainly not wrong, but Paul, again, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was writing this letter to these believers at Rome where he had a desire to go, and they had a desire for him to come there as well. Now, a few things about Paul that are revealed today as we go through this. Paul, by the way, do you know what the name Paul or Paulus in the Greek means? I've taught about this before. Paul means little. So Paul opens this letter and says, it's the little guy coming to talk to you again. As we all know, I've said this many times. Kay will have to get the thing out here again. John's repeating himself again. But the people you want to watch out for most in this world are little people. When you wrestled, you're going to have a lot tougher time with a shorter person than you will with a long, lanky person. And I believe this with all my heart. Paul was feisty as they came. So Paul addresses them right out. He says, this little guy, little, Paul, has something to say. And I believe Paul had mighty words. Notice what Paul calls himself here. He calls himself a servant. By the way, if you go into the Greek on this, it's more than just a servant. It would be like a slave. Paul says, I am a slave to Jesus Christ. I am here at his beck and call and at his service. That's the first thing this morning, the transparency I see in Paul. Don't acknowledge this only to yourself and the Lord today, but how many of us could really be classified as a slave to the Lord today? I saw something out of the corner of my eye, saw a head shaking no, and you can look up at me. I'm not there. Probably few of us are. Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ. Notice here, called to be an apostle. Paul didn't come with the desire to do this. Paul saw the light on the road to Damascus. God struck him down and said, Paul, I'm going to use you. And you know what? Paul could do no other. He was saved on the road to Damascus by faith. God got a hold of him. He saw the light. And so he says, I was called to be an apostle. You know, there was a charge against Paul all along. He said, you're not a real apostle. An apostle is one who saw Jesus Christ and was called personally of him. We know the 12 apostles. There's always been debate also about Matthias and Paul. Judas was one that was called directly by Christ and saw him, but he never was able to live up to what the apostle should have been because he was a traitor. He again was a deceiver. But anyway, Paul saw Jesus on the road to Damascus and he was called. I think he's an apostle. You can debate whether he was the 12th or 13th or 14th, depending on what mathematics you like. But he said he was apostle. He was called of God, called of Jesus. And here it says he was separated unto the gospel of God. That word separated just means that he was dedicated, he was sanctified in the gospel. That was his thing to do. And he had a very much part, or the whole impact of his life was separated to Jesus. Oh, that Jesus would help me with that in my walk and in yours. Amen. Anyway, he says here, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. You know, Paul stumbled right over all that teaching. Paul was a Hebrew's Hebrew. He studied under Gamaliel, one of the greatest teachers of Hebrew and Hebrew history. They had the Old Testament canon of Scripture. And Paul read all this stuff. He heard all this stuff, but he never processed this stuff till the Holy Spirit opened his eyes. Folks, maybe there's one in here today that has seen it and heard it, but never processed it. But Paul processed it on the road to Damascus and in the years to come as God separated him once again. And he saw those promises that they indeed were there, but he stumbled over them. Folks, what a tragedy if we stumble. You know, there's an old saying as well, people stumble over a dollar to get to a dime. But what a tragedy when people stumble over the gospel and end up never experiencing it. God forbid that would be any of us here today. But Paul acknowledges he knew the history. Verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Paul says, you know what? This all comes together now. He is the divine Son of God. He's the God-man, fully God and fully man, and declared to be the Son of God with power. Now that word power there in the Greek is translated, I've got a cough. excuse me, dunamis. Now, check this out sometime, but there's an old saying, when you play with dynamite, you better be very careful. This book, or what you have on your device this morning, not the paper, but the power of the words, is dynamic. It's like dynamite. You're playing around, and I'm playing around with dynamite today, folks. And I'll tell you what, it's dangerous. If we don't handle this dynamite properly, it's going to cause us much harm. If we handle it properly, it can do much good. And respond to it properly, it can do us much good. But here's what he says. He was declared to be the Son of God with power. Jesus is dynamic. He is the essence of all energy. He's the dynamo. With God, nothing shall be impossible. He is declared to have power, dynamite, dynamic power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus is the first one that resurrected from the dead, never to die again. That's powerful stuff, folks, because it cannot happen apart from the miraculous intervention of God. Showing dunamis, dynamic power. Folks, you and I are afforded that when we have received Christ as Savior. One day we will be raised in the same capacity as Christ. I can't even believe what's coming on the radar screen for all of us, especially for the believer. But I'll tell you what, I can't believe what's coming for the unbeliever, because it's going to be just the opposite tragic. Power, the resurrection. Nothing like it ever. It's right in the same line as the creative work of God, bringing someone or something that is dead to new life. What a wonderful thing. Paul had that power. He recognized that power. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. See, I believe this, that while Paul probably never had it totally right like you and I, he had it pretty right. He understood here what? That obedience is something that flows out of the grace of God. When God did something for us that we didn't deserve, it ought to crank our heads around, and we ought to say, you know what? I need to have a different perspective toward the Lord and toward my fellow man because of what he did for me. Amen. Obedience to faith, to the faith among all nations for his name. So Paul here reveals also in himself what? He was not just for the Jews. He was not for his only ethnicity. But he saw the mission field as the whole world. And by the way, that's what it is. The gospel was offered first to the Jew and then to the Greek. By the way, when Paul went to the Jews, what did they do with him? They were afraid of him because they thought he was a traitor. See? They couldn't believe all this new stuff that had happened to him after he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. They hated him. And it ended up being that Paul became the major deliverer of the gospel to the non-Jewish world. Isn't that interesting as a Jew? That's how God does these kind of things, folks. He has things prepared for you and I if we'll just follow him. It may not be something that's in your comfort zone. It may not be something you'll ever thought you have ever done or will do. But God, if he gets a hold of you like he did Paul, you'll be shocked at what trail he takes you down. By the way, anyone here think Christianity and the Christian walk is boring? You come talk to me. You go talk to the Apostle Paul. You get engaged with the Apostle Paul and the way he operated with God, and you'll find that life is dynamic. You will never need pills for depression, because he'll throw more on your plate. There will be more excitement than what you'll ever understand. By the way, if you don't believe me, I'm going to say this. Try it. Try it. It's exciting. Anyway, here it is. Verse 6, among whom are you also called of Jesus Christ? So Paul's talking to these believers at Rome and he says, you're no different than me. Because you were called just like I was called. I was called on the road to Damascus. Every one of us has a different experience. And Paul made that very clear. Verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called, and there's italics there in the version of the Bible that I have this morning, called saints. By the way, Marlon, I called you a saint this week. And it was true, and we talked about this one day, didn't we, in the field. Yeah, you aren't made into a saint or a sainthood by something that's pronounced by a church or human stuff. I want us all to know here today that if you're a born-again believer in Christ, you're a saint. That's what the Bible says. Saint just means simply you're sanctified, you're set apart, you're different. Do you feel different today? If you don't, maybe there's a problem. I can't help it. Saint Woodrow. Saint John, you hear that all the time. But lighten up a little bit, people. This is big stuff. And we blunder through life and don't even get it. Anyway, we got to go, or else we'll have to quit early anyway and come back. Paul says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, Paul's done having the salutation of the letter. He says, I desire and pray that there be grace and peace from Jesus to your flock there in Rome, the believers in Rome. Now Paul's going to get into the meat of this, and Paul lays down a lot of doctrine for us. Verse 8, and first thing he says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Now, I know you're all in a pretty somber mood this morning, but this confirms that Paul was Southern. I'm going to fall down here this morning. Isn't that what he says? I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Have you thought about others today? No question, I get grouchy about things. And I ask that you pray for me about stuff. And I get grouchy about stuff at the church. Let me say this. I want to see Fruitland Baptist Church excel and be a massive force in Christ. And it bothers me when I don't see that desire in people. So I'll just let you know. Sometimes I have a real struggle about those kind of things. But Paul thanked the Lord for the believers at Rome, because what he was really saying here is what? We're all in this together. Yep. And I want to be an encouragement to you, but I'm thankful that maybe I'm not able to be in Rome, but you know, your small group of believers there in Rome have great influence, and Paul's going to tell us why. Now, when we study the Roman Empire, we think that was a bad deal. The way things went. Very similar to what's going on with America. Rome was it was the greatest, but it fell. But it had worldwide influence. But the problem is, what Paul's going to show us here, they didn't use the influence for the right things. And America, you better wake up. God wants us to be used for His influence. Otherwise, it's going to be gone. But Paul recognized that the influence of the Roman Empire was a vehicle to reach people for Jesus Christ because it was massive. And here's what he said in verse 8. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the world. These few little believers, possibly four house churches, were known dynamically through the world. Why? Because nominally the people in Rome or the Roman Empire, the officials, were against biblical Christianity. By the way, most times through history, governments will be against biblical Christianity. But the influence, when people talked about that throughout the world, caused people to focus on those few believers in Rome that were nominally persecuted and so on and so forth. They had a dynamic impact on the world. By the way, as I said earlier, never doubt being small is a hindrance. God will use smallness for great things many times. Many times. So he was thanking them for their influence they had in a pagan nation, the Roman Empire. For God is my witness, who I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Folks, that's where I'm lack. We have so much to pray about, and yet we focus on some of the most mundane things in prayer, I think, oftentimes. Do you believe this, that throughout this globe, there could be other Christians that are praying for Fruitland Baptist Church? They may not even know us by name, but they're saying, you know what, I'm praying for a flock in the Midwest, in the United States, that has a dynamic mission to fulfill. But make sure this, that we do pray for one another and to pray for others that are in the same situation, the deliverance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says this in verse 10, making request, if by any means now at length, that I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Paul wanted to get up there to Rome. He wanted to interact with them. He wanted to be an encouragement to them. He wanted their encouragement in his life. By the way, you can read in the book of Acts how it was when Paul, finally did get to Rome. It was not easy. Shipwrecks, floating on planks. A real adventure. Go to the book of Acts and read about that. He says in verse 11, for I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. Or that we can share. I can share things with you to see growth in your lives and you as well. And that, again, this will help you to be more firmly established in the work of the gospel deliverance of Jesus Christ. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Isn't that what the church is about? The church is not about fighting each other. The church is about edifying one another and bringing glory to God. See, we've got to get our heads on straight about some of these things. Paul had it totally right here. We need to be much more involved in the gospel effort united and looking for each other's needs, where we can help and how we can strengthen one another. And there's a multiplicity of ways that that can be done. But that is, again, the mission of the church. See? And we got to get it right in our own house, or it won't be right when it leaves the house. Paul had those desires there about the church in Rome. Fellowship is what he wanted. But he admits in verse 13, he says, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren. In other words, he's saying, folks, it's not because I didn't want to get up to see you. But what he says is, I was providentially hindered. Now, I said I'd talk about providential hindrances. Providential hindrances are not something that you do that cause you not to get something done. Providential hindrances are things that happen that were beyond your control that would not allow you to accomplish what you needed to do. For instance, I called the eye doctor one day. Something came up that I could not avoid. I said, I was providentially hindered. The person on the operator said, what? What? I said, yes, there was something that came up that I could not change or avoid that I needed to care for, so thusly I will not be at my appointment today. Oh, okay. But providential hindrance is something that's under the authority of God. It wasn't something that you could do anything about, and that was Paul's situation. He wanted to get to Rome, but he couldn't get it done because various things came up that God allowed in his path, and it wasn't in God's timing. By the way, today, God has perfect timing. The Bible says often, wait upon the Lord. Don't try to force things, but let him open the doors and do it in his timing. Paul had a reason for every, or God had a reason for everything that Paul did. He said, oftentimes I purposed to come to you, but I was let hitherto. Let means delayed. That's an old English word there, but it means delayed. I was delayed that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. He desperately wanted to be there. Now, here's the other thing about Paul in the next couple verses, and we'll wrap this up today. We'll make it work, even though the main point of this message I'd like to hammer on a while. But Paul recognized himself as a debtor. Was Paul in financial trouble? No, Paul was not in financial trouble. But Paul was a debtor of the gospel. This is a view that I hope we'll all consider as I studied this passage. Am I in debt to Christ? Well, no, he paid my debt of sin. But you know what? We really have a debt to others. We're not in debt to Christ, but we are in debt to one another. We're in debt to our fellow man if we withhold the good news from them. And this is what Paul said here. He says, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. I like how Paul put this here. The Greeks meant people of high intellect. And the barbarians were people that couldn't even understand the word of God. Paul said, I was called and I'm in debt to deliver the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ to everyone, the full spectrum from here to here. Because let me tell you, whether you're a barbarian or the most educated Greek in the comparison that Paul uses, apart from Jesus Christ, you're in the same position of great need. And that's what he said, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am. By the way, when he says as much as is in me, Paul said, I'm ready to give my whole life and all my efforts to this debt that I owe to other people. Can I ask us today, do you acknowledge that debt that we have to others that are lost in Jesus Christ? Now, the point of the whole message today, he says, so much as is in me, I am ready. What's it mean to be ready? We're going to talk about that very quickly. It's the word prothemon in the Greek, and it may not be what you think. When you think about being ready for something, give me some things here today. Well, I've got the right clothes. I've got the whole planning done for this. I've studied everything. I'm prepared. I've done all the due diligence to get ready to do something. Is that not all important? J. Don, you agree it is? Okay. I thought you had your hand up. I'm sorry. You can put it back down. You did. Well, what's it mean to be ready? That's not what the Greek says here. Even though that can lead up to what you're going to do. But you can do all kinds of preparation. But the word that we're looking at here, the Greek word I gave you that is translated here, I am ready, means I am eager. Eager. Have you even thought of that word lately? What's eager mean? That fit for our school mascot at Wilton, you know, eager beavers. Eager means I can't wait. I can't wait to get involved in whatever this is. I'm ready. I am prepared. The preparation as best I can is there, but that's not what it meant to be ready. It means, are you eager? Here again, it's the word prothemon, or the word prothemon in the Greek, and it means a desire or a zeal or an enthusiasm that says, I can't wait to get at it. How many of us can say that today? A lot of people can't even drag themselves up to get to church. Where are you going to get if you can't even get to the first step? You can show people the stairway, but they got to take the steps. So much as is in me, I am ready to preach. By the way, preaching is not someone just getting up and talking. Preaching has the idea of compelling someone with the speaking. Causing them to make a decision. Causing them to think. And Paul says, I'm ready to let this be done for Jesus Christ's sake. I am ready to preach the gospel, the good news to you that are Rome at Rome also. And then the second component of our message as we quit here today. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Eagerness, being ready, and not ashamed. If you will get those two things in order, and I will get those things in order, we'll deliver the gospel with an effectiveness to those that we reach. Now the word ashamed in the Greek, apesach nomai. There's one for you. Ashamed means I don't want to be disgraced. This is the feelings and emotions we have with that. I don't want to be singled out for lack of confidence. Gene, I hope it's okay if I share this. Is it what we talked about and prayed about? Gene and I have similar things. When we get up here publicly to talk to people or do things, it's scary. And these things cross our mind. What if I fail? I'll be ashamed of myself. The words I gave you here. I'll be singled out because I lack confidence. I'll be disgraced or I'll be humiliated personally. I believe this, and there's probably people in this room today that have those very same emotions when it comes to delivering the gospel. And it's used of Satan. But notice what Paul said here. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power, again, dunamis, of God unto salvation. Folks, you got to get over yourself. I got to get over myself and get with God. Don't be ashamed and be ready to do it. And it'll be used dynamically, dunamisly. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. By the way, Paul was not ashamed to stand for Jesus. I won't go there because of time, but just one other reference, 2 Timothy 1:2. Again, Paul says, I am not ashamed. Are you and I ashamed to stand for Jesus Christ? If you are, unless God helps you with that to get over it and get over yourself, it's all about pride. You will not be effective. I will not be effective for Jesus. Now we got to wrap this up because I told a lie. Because it's time to quit. Brenda, I see you looking at me cross-eyed. For therein, verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As is written, the just shall live by faith. Folks, that's the whole message of the gospel, faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul says the preaching, the going out and deliverance of the word of God, the gospel message, is going to save one person at a time. That's the faith to faith. And again, when you look at this, it's kind of like a pyramid scheme that God's designed, okay? Don't take me wrong as I say that. But when one person gets saved and begins to communicate with others, do you see how that multiplies? But folks, in our day, in the Western culture, in many cases, division's what's being practiced. Or subtraction. But God's numbers add and multiply. And it'll come right back to those two things, readiness, eagerness, and not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Here's the conclusion. The question today is, do you possess such elements for real effectiveness? And if you do, how is God working through you? And if not, why not? And what do I need to do to be in this position like Paul? And what needs to be done in my relationship with God to achieve it? Simply said, trust the Lord and go out and walk on the water. Trust Jesus and do it. Not being ashamed and being eager, but you can investigate all that. Achieving the intent of these two words will make the difference in the results that glorify God through the winning of souls to Christ in your life and in mine. Today's the day, as I say every Sunday, it's the day to get it right. It's the day for the believer to get it right, to adopt the footsteps of Paul in the ministry God has given you. But it's also the day for anyone that may be here that is not in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ to, by faith, receive it, to believe, and to be converted, and to see a new life brought forth in you this day that will be dynamic as we walk with the Lord in the days to come. Today is an important day. We can never get it back. I'm done yakking. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand, if you're able. 147. Again, there may be many questions in our life. Let me just say this, Jesus has every answer, and His book has every answer. Today's a day again to approach Him. He'll not be harsh with you if you approach Him, no matter what the need is here today for salvation or for one that's saved to get back on track with the Lord and to get into His walk. He is gentle to those who yield themselves in humbleness to Him. Whether you come forward or not, that's up to you. But know this, Jesus is but a call away today. Why did they nail Him to Calvary's tree? Why, tell me, why was He there? Jesus, the Helper, the Healer, the Friend. Why, tell me, why was He there? All my iniquities on Him were laid. He'll nail them all to the tree. Jesus, the debt of my sin fully paid. He paid the ransom for me. The answer to that is, why did He do it? He did it for you and I personally. Thanks be to God, who does give us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Woody, would you dismiss us today in prayer, please?